underway of the Midnight Rider right here on RBN on this Monday night, the 8th of October, 2007. Kindly joining me here tonight is Michael Herzog of the American Awakening, heard here on the Republic Broadcasting Network every afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m., and I promise to go straight to the phones. Jeff in Canada, you're on the program. Welcome aboard, sir.
Michael and Mike.
Yep.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You guys got that report from Agence France-Presse, right?
Right, and you, I think somebody had indirectly told me that you had found it in the Montreal Gazette. I ended up finding it buried on Yahoo, believe it or not.
And,
And then it was after about a 45-minute search of trying to find this article, because it just wasn't showing up anywhere.
So you got the part about, in the end, two U.S. Marshals managed to sneak into the home through the front door late Thursday, posing as supporters who have been providing the couple with weapons, food, and supplies since the standoff began.
Michael, have you seen that article?
No, I haven't. And what, repeat that, Jeff. What did you just say?
Sure. I'd love to read the article to you if you'd like, but I'll just go with that paragraph.
Yeah, get that paragraph. That's the key paragraph.
Yes, go ahead.
In the end, two U.S. Marshals managed to sneak into the home through the front door late Thursday, posing as supporters who had been providing the couple with weapons, food, and supplies since the standoff began. They invited us in, and we escorted them out, Michael Stephen Monnier said, explaining how officials first arrested the pair and then swept the property for guns and explosives. During that sweep, we discovered a large number of improvised explosive devices both inside the residence and outside, Monnier said, adding weapons and ammunition also were found.
May I comment?
Please do.
How do you sneak in as a supporter that's been supplying food and weapons? Would not Ed Brown know that you'd been supplying food and weapons? How would you have to sneak in?
Right.
And the second thing is, as far as improvised explosive devices, in the house...
That's correct, Michael. That's what this report is indicating here. That's what this is his statement. That
I can tell you, you know, I mean, logic would tell me that's a blatant lie. I heard nothing. Even if you were going to have explosive devices, Jeff, why would you have them in your own home? You might have them outside, but why would you have them in your house?
This is a terrific question. Now, you have to. I just read this story on Saturday afternoon. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I figured you guys were onto this, like, you know, yesterday already. So
now, see, Jeff, the AP articles, the articles that had appeared here in the American Press, were almost word for word as this article, except for that paragraph.
Well, I have it right in front of me. I'll be happy to photocopy it and get a Xerox, a fax out to you.
Yeah, please do. I've got a printed copy of the article from that I got off of Yahoo. And I've got it bookmarked where the article is at, so I'm going to go back and probably take a nice little screen cap of the article.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
If you're supporters and you're supplying with guns or you're supplying with food, why would you have to sneak in?
Well, you wouldn't. You'd have been welcomed in.
Exactly.
The whole story.
But here's the larger question. If you're a federal agent and you're bringing in weapons, aren't you guilty of the very same crimes they're accusing Danny Riley, Reno, Jason Gerhardt, and Robert Wolf of, aiding and abetting?
I would think so.
I mean, if this is the case, then these deputies need to be hanging 10 in the very same jails these gentlemen are.
But that flies in the face of what Monnier said in his press conference. He said, and I quote, "They invited us in, we escorted them out."
When did he make that comment? Or
he made
that
comment
at the
press conference
on Friday.
He made that on Friday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that still ties in with the quote that they took and pasted into this story here that they printed on Saturday morning for the
Gazette. Gentlemen, hold on right there. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side, talk some more about this. This is the Midnight Rider. If you'd like to join us, 800-313-9443. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 80% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Love, come quick. Love, come in a hurry. There are thieves in the temple tonight. They don't care where they kick, just as long as they hurt you. There are thieves in the temple tonight. Love, if you dare, come save me.
All right, back here on the Midnight Rider, Michael Herzog joining me along with our caller Jeff in Canada. And yeah, I would, you know, in my mind, I would think these people are just as guilty of aiding and abetting as the four that are currently in jail, and something should be done about it. If indeed this article is correct. Michael, you want to take that?
I'm just dumbfounded because the comment that Jeff made in reading that article, Mike, and saying that you know, they snuck in, mm-hmm. posing as supporter. You can't. First of all, you can't sneak into Ed's house. Sorry,
right.
Not going to happen. Okay, snuck in posing as supporters, bringing foods and guns. No, that isn't going to happen either. If Ed Brown doesn't know who you are, unless these people had been coming there on a regular basis and Ed knew who they were and had seen them before, that isn't going to happen.
Right, and here's the other thing. If they had been coming since the very beginning, if I recall correctly, there was a vetting process that was going on because you had two or three layers to get through just to get up to the house. So they would have been vetted on a number of levels,
right?
Before ever getting into the house.
There was a sign posted right out front at the top of their driveway. In order to even drive down their driveway, you had to call them and let them know who you were. They had to know who you were, or
right.
You weren't getting in.
Right.
So, I tell you what, with that, in all honesty, I believe that most likely these people that ultimately took them down had been coming there for quite some time, had ingratiated themselves to the Browns, and had won them over, because I cannot see Ed Brown allowing somebody to walk up unbeknownst to him.
I agree.
Walk in and just be their best buddy, hand them food and hand them guns. That didn't happen. Sorry. Don't believe that for a minute.
Well, and Monier hasn't always been truthful. I mean, we saw that back in June when they talked about it would be nothing but a surveillance mission with 12 guys in ghillie suits.
He's
fractured the truth on more than one occasion, and I would imagine he's fractured it once again, because I mean he was absolutely crowing in that press conference.
Well, Jeff, did you want to insert something? Go ahead.
Well, I just read into the fact that this is probably written by a French journalist, number one, who's probably English is probably the second or her second language, and that perhaps the way they worded that particular few sentences, I can sort of read some vagaries into that, and then I can couple that with what you're trying to say, Mr. Herzog, which is basically that they would have had to ingratiate themselves with the Browns for a long time. And if there were indeed three levels of security on that property, and there was that level of sophistication in terms of vetting people onto the property and off the property, et cetera, that may indicate that they were being perhaps given guidance by two of these people posing as supporters. Now, how you get the drop on Ed and Elaine Brown in the home after you've let them in, that's another story. Maybe security, maybe their guard was down. I don't know. But again, the way the story was spun at the very beginning of the evening was that Ed and Elaine Brown did not surrender, quote unquote, did not surrender. So that would indicate to me that there was a struggle. I mean, if you don't surrender, then how do you go peacefully into the night with the federal marshals?
Right, and if I might add to that, Jeff, they didn't surrender, but he also said no one was hurt. That doesn't make any sense.
Correct.
Because knowing Ed Brown, if he didn't surrender, I guarantee you somebody was hurt.
Which may be the very reason why we haven't heard about Ed Brown in 4 days.
If there was an injury to him, or he's being restrained in some way, whether with psychotropic, with a drug or what have you, there's that possibility that they don't want to reveal his location at this juncture, because, and I think you indicated this before, but like to add on to this, that if they reveal his location now, that the Patriot movement might sort of try to congregate in one location. I think perhaps right now they're probably, as Michael said earlier, and very aptly said, that they'll probably be taking the pulse right now of the Patriot movement and be monitoring our websites and the chat rooms to see what we're talking about before they sort of play that next card. I highly think they would rendition Mr. Brown. You know, even though the Military Commissions Act really states now that they can rendition you if they deem you a terrorist, and saying that he had explosives inside and outside the residence, they may just try to be piling on a lot of balderdash to sort of justify renditioning him. If they have indeed done that, I would be very, very surprised if they did that, because that would just say to the Patriot movement, the gloves are off, that you're not safe out there. If you think you can get arrested for tax evasion, guess what we can do to you when you smoke marijuana or get a traffic ticket or don't show up for court one day. So I don't know if they've gone that far yet. But again, we're only speculating. We can only report what we read and see. And I was surprised to find out that two U.S. marshals managed to sneak into the home. And I thought that would not be yesterday's news. And now finding out tonight that you guys are adding that to the part of the puzzle now. And I'll be looking forward to getting that out to you tomorrow, so that you can add that to your archive, Mike.
Plus, I've spoken with some people who are very familiar with these type of tactics. And they told me that essentially there would have been a number of plants, and them operating independently, they wouldn't have known of each other, and that there were possibly a number of so-called supporters going in and out of that house over the months.
Well,
and Ed Nolan not aware of it.
Let me insert something here. Okay, when I went up there to the press conference, there was a number of people up there, obviously. There was, you know, obviously you've got the reporters and you've got the cameras and you've got the you know, television trucks and so forth. But then there was also the stragglers. There was, I would say, probably 20, 30, you know, just onlookers, just, you know, supporters, well-wishers, whatever you want to call it. But right at the end of the press conference, I noticed that there was probably a half a dozen, maybe eight, people that came walking down the driveway with this great big sign that they had painted, you know, with the big snake says, "Don't tread on me," and they looked like hippies. And I thought to myself at that time, I thought, you know, Ed can't possibly know all these people. These people were just coming from, you know, Lord knows where. And
right.
So, you know, it's very possible that, you know, people being nice, people showing, acting like they're showing support, could have ingratiated themselves to him, but it would have had to have been over a period of time, number one. Also, you have to consider the possibility, which I'm sure you already have, is that somebody that had been in there at one point as a well-wisher was threatened, intimidated, bought off, you know, pick your poison, and they knew the Browns, and they introduced whoever these, you know, the feds were into the mix, and it could be that they were compartmentalized and didn't know the difference.
Right.
So, you know, you got a number of different possibilities here.
One of the things that you can do right now is probably start reviewing some of the tapes or video that's available with, you're looking for a needle in the haystack, but you could probably wheedle the people down in terms of the supporters that were there on the ground, because he didn't really have a lot of people at the end. You remember, a couple of weeks ago, they tried to weed out, I think they probably, the insiders probably said, listen, before you come in here, let's weed out a few other guys here who have firearms, because
well,
if it does
here,
go down,
well,
it could get messier.
Here's the thing, Jeff. Very early on in this, that it, the way the process was working was if you weren't willing to fight, Ed didn't want you out there.
Right.
And so you might be able to come and stay for a little while. But unless you were armed and were willing to shoot back, you didn't get to stay.
Well, Mike, they didn't necessarily have to be armed because, you know, Ed had plenty of arms in there for everybody.
Well, true. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He had some pretty heavy equipment. I mean, I never made it upstairs, but John did. And he was pretty heavily equipped. So, you know, the willingness to fight would have been all they needed. So,
sure.
if these, and again, like Jeff had mentioned, here these people show up supposedly with food and guns. Ed didn't need any guns. He might have needed guns if he had more bodies, but they also
right.
reported that at the time of the arrest, there was nobody there.
Well, this article indicates that this group, these two supporters, had been doing this since the standoff began. Now, that's
right.
You should underline that. So these guys were there from the beginning. So anybody listening to the show right now that was involved in the beginning of the framework of the security, of the beginning of the first echelon, if you will, of the Browns' defense, you just need to start looking in that small group. And believe me, it wasn't 30, 40, 50, 60 people,
mm-hmm.
folks.
Right.
This is a small group of weasels. And I just want to say to the listeners out there in the chat room right now, be careful what you're chatting, because we were chatting about this the other night. My modem got zapped, and I never got back online. So I'm just telling you that just be careful of who you're talking to out there. I'm not saying be chilly and stop talking and stop protesting, but be careful of who you might be talking to or around, because
right.
they'll rat you out in about 5 seconds. So if this is what happened.
Well, it's not only who you're talking to, it's what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah,
almost certainly. And a lot of times these individuals will actually start the conversation.
Right. Yeah.
So, just be aware and don't shut up and clam up, but certainly be aware that we are being monitored. Don't ever for a second think that we're not being watched or listened to. And I'm not saying to be paranoid. I'm just saying to be prudent in your endeavors. And I think most people know that in your chat room. I'm just sort of putting that out there just in case there's someone listening who's new to this. This is serious stuff. And
yeah.
People are being quoted. You're being quoted. This is all probably being recorded at some level.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Hello, everybody.
It's being archived, so all they have to do is go into the archive.
Exactly. Jeff, appreciate the call. Back
Thanks
in just a minute
much,
with
nice
more.
Talk.
The number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Great call, Jeff. Back in just a minute.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Can't beat that. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Mike Chambers with you on this Monday night edition of the Midnight Rider, being joined by RBN's Michael Herzog, his program, The American Awakening, from 2 to 4 p.m. every weekday afternoon, right here on RBN. It's a good show, and I hope you're listening to it. If you're not, you should be. Shame on you. I think we're going to learn more, Michael, as time goes on and more people start to talk and more people, you know, kind of start going back over time and start connecting the dots. For these two marshals, I think at some point in time they'll be figured out who they are.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, what Jeff mentioned sent a chill down my spine at first, but I'm going to tell you that would be the most plausible explanation. Mm-hmm. Or how it happened, because knowing Ed, I mean, I'm not a personal friend of Ed's. I've only met him one time, but I pay very close attention to a person's actions, their demeanor, their body language, their passion, their delivery. And I'm telling you, Ed is a no-nonsense man who does not trust anybody. So right. To me, it would have been just totally impossible, Mike, for somebody to enter in there and ingratiate themselves to the Browns just on a first or second or even a third or a fifth visit. So that would make total sense to me, that whoever this was had been infiltrating, if you will, their homestead and and palling up with them through this entire endeavor.
And I'll almost guarantee you, Michael, that every time there was an event, such as the night where there were lights being shined in the woods, and then the morning where Danny Riley was tasered and nearly shot, that those two were probably at the house.
Most likely. Now, on the subject of Danny Riley and these other fellas, now they're still incarcerated, right?
That's correct.
And they're all of these. And I know with Danny Riley, I don't know the other three guys, but I know that Danny Riley had been, more in the spotlight, if you will, than the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And there's been some really serious charges that have been leveled against these guys.
Yeah, these guys could get up to 100 years in prison.
Now, are we talking about between the four of them, or are we talking about just...
I think each one of them can get up to like 100 years in prison.
Well, and it raises the question, Mike, is that, what do they consider? And John brought that up on his show today. What exactly do they consider aiding and abetting? I mean, all of the people, and there's been scores of people that have come up and visited with the Browns. I mean, there was, as I said, probably, 20, 30 people maybe, other than the press that was up there the day that I was there. And talking mm-hmm. to Ed and Elaine, they say, oh, yeah, they come and go. Some of them will spend an afternoon. Some of them will spend a couple of days. Are all of these people in a database? Are all these people going to get approached? Because I know that they have approached a few of them. Other than the ones that are currently incarcerated, they have been actively pursuing these people. And what the concern is for everybody is that the charges are trumped up. They've got
right.
they've got bogus charges on these gentlemen, and there's one guy, and I can't remember his name. I think his name is Jason, who they're alleging that he had a pipe bomb in his garage, for crying
right.
out loud. And this is a guy that, from what I understand, Mike, had just recently enrolled in the military and was going to go to Iraq.
Yeah, he was in basic at Fort Leonard Wood.
So
when they went and got him.
So why would a guy? That is enrolling, enlisting into the military, getting ready, in basic training, getting ready to be shipped off. Why would he have a pipe bomb in his garage? See, that's an oxymoron. That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. The problem is, Michael, they're used to selling half-baked lies and not expecting people to sit and actually ponder what they have to say. And when we sit down and start looking over what they say and how they say it, and again, watching their body language and that type of thing, it doesn't take us very long to figure out these people are lying through their teeth.
Well, you know what the other problem with them is, or the other problem they have with us, or the Patriot movement as a whole? That they think that they're dealing with the dumbed-down, mind-numbed American public.
Exactly.
They think that they can spend their lives and we're just going to eat it up. And the problem is, and you know this, Mike, being an awakened patriot like you are, that once you come out of their hypnosis, and once you realize that these people have been lying to us on a consistent basis, it's like Judge Judy says, you lie to me once, and I have trouble believing anything you say.
Exactly.
Okay? We question everything they say.
Right.
To the point of almost being conspiratorial, because we have to. Because they force us to.
Exactly, because it's their own words. I mean, if they'd told the truth the first time, we wouldn't be asking these questions.
And I don't like to be like that.
I don't either. I mean, I like to be a trusting individual and accept everybody and take everybody at face value as opposed to wonder, well, I wonder if this guy's on the level or not.
Right, and I think that's a part of human nature. At least it has always been with me. I'll take everybody at face value until they show me that I shouldn't.
Right.
And this is, this is how you learn to trust. You learn to have, you learn to know whether a person is an integral individual. And it seems to me like these people are trained to do this. And, again, I have trouble getting my head around it, Mike, because in order to be trained to do something like that and to, sink into this corruption, you must not have any integrity to begin with.
Exactly. Bottom of the hour break here. Half hour to go on the other side. We'll come back and pick up more. If you'd like to join us, the number 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Plus the chat room open at republicbroadcasting.org. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
At last, my love has come along. My lonely days are over.
Just over the break, I happened to take a look at the Ron Paul website. Just in like the last hour and a half, they've raised like $5,000. Pretty cool. RonPaul2008.com is his website, by the way, if you've not had a chance to stick your coinage in there, your Federal Reserve notes, as it were. At least they're good for something, huh? I'm joined by Michael Herzog, the Republic Broadcasting Network, his program, The American Awakening. Every weekday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m., and we've got Lloyd in Indiana on the line. Welcome to the program, sir. You're on the Midnight Rider. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello.
It's not Indiana. It's Alabama.
Alabama, okay. You have to speak up, Lloyd. Your connection's pretty bad.
Okay. This is Alabama. It's not Indiana.
That may be why. They've got your rendition through Indiana for a call from Alabama.
Oh, okay. Greetings from Alabama and the heart of the occupied Confederacy.
Yes, indeed.
You know, a lot of a lot of people nowadays act like they think it's some big revelation, you know, of things that the federal government is doing. You know, many of us Southerners, we've always known what they was capable of. You know, they were the first ones, you know, to wage war against civilians. You know, they wouldn't have conquered us if they hadn't. They were willing to burn Atlanta, Columbia, South Carolina. You know, they shelled Vicksburg for months. But anyway, getting back to the story about the Browns, what type of income what I'm trying to say is, where did Ed get his income from?
He was pretty much retired. Elaine was a dentist over in Lebanon, and a pretty successful one. Ed was, I think, a retired exterminator and a contractor as well, wasn't he, Michael?
I believe so. I know he was very good with his hands, and he built that house, so I imagine he had some experience doing that.
And I know that in a conversation that I had with him about his home, he had told me how the home was built, and he was very excited about the possibility of being able to build more homes just like it. A lot of people, you know, say that the reason that the concrete was so thick was to fortify the house. Actually, it's not. It was to make the house energy efficient.
The reason I was asking is I've studied some about the income tax and all, and from what I understand, the income off of interest and a few other things is taxable, but the income off of one's labor, according to the way the law is written up, isn't. And I just was just wondering what type of income he had, you know, that they said he was liable for.
Well, I don't know specifically how much their income was, but I know that they allegedly owe, $1.9 million, I believe was the figure, in back taxes and penalties. But that, you know, that's all relative because we're going back to, I believe it's 1996, and they tack on penalties, interest, and negligence. Mm-hmm. So the figure originally, according to the government's statistics, could have been, you know, $200,000-$300,000, and then they've just, you know, it's multiplied over time.
Oh, yeah, they'll do that. But I was just a bit curious, you know. I've kept up with it on the radio and in different publications and whatnot, but it never did state exactly, where he got his income from. You know, like from what I understand, the interest on like CDs and like if you give somebody a loan and they pay you back interest. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, the interest income and various other things is taxable, but. You know, the income off your labor, like if you build a house for somebody or dig a ditch for somebody or just whatever, you know, that income, according to the way it's written up, is not taxable. And I was just wondering, you know, what type of income, you know, they were claiming he was liable for.
I don't think it was his income. I think it was more her income.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right, and it's from their perspective, Lloyd, their definition of income is anything that comes in. They don't care. You know, the only thing that is exempt that I, off the top of my head, I believe is proceeds from life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that comes in, you know, they just put it all in a bucket.
I know that's the way they do, but I was talking about, you know, the way the law is written up.
Well, in accordance with Supreme Court rulings, Stanton versus Baltic Mining Company and, I believe, Bruce Shaver versus Union Pacific, it's income is a corporate profit, and I don't know as a private individual that
would
interest...
corporate profit include though, like if you own stocks and bonds and stuff like that, or had CDs and you made you drew interest off of it, would that be considered a corporate?
Well, not if I wouldn't think it would be unless you were incorporated. But as a private individual, the way that I understand it, no, it wouldn't be.
You know, I would
actually, Lloyd, what you can do is go over to Tommy Cryer's website at liefreezone.com, and the memorandum that he used in his case discusses all these Supreme Court cases and the law itself, and he runs through all of this stuff. And you can download that memorandum for free.
Oh, okay. And before I go, I'd just like to say that Ron Paul's gaining momentum in Alabama. There's a group not too far from me. I help them out every now and then that
cool.
Has been supporting him. And they get on Highway 280 about once or twice a week and about 20 people do, and they hold up Ron Paul signs and, you know, in front of all the traffic coming up and down the highway. And anyways, he's getting a pretty good bit of momentum around here.
Good deal. Lloyd, I appreciate the call. Keep up the good work.
Well, nice talking to you, Lloyd. Thank you.
Let's grab Greg in Indiana. Greg, how are you tonight?
Yes, sir. I want to qualify with what I'm about to say. I mean, I'm pro-white, pro-American, subscriber to the AFP, but let me ask you first off, were the Browns convicted by a jury or a judge?
A jury.
A jury, okay. Now, here's my problem with the Browns, to be real frank. I'm real hip on the illegality of income taxes, but I think they're doing more harm to the cause than good, because they were convicted by a jury. They took their chances in court, and they lost. I mean, no matter how much of a sham it was, the fact of the matter, I mean, if they're God-fearing, law-abiding folk and all, and they're convicted by a jury, then, I mean, aren't they, don't they forfeit their freedom at that point?
You want to take that, Mike, or you want me to take it?
Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. Herein lies the problem, is that when you go to a tax trial, and by the way, I have been to tax trial, they have what they call an evidentiary hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that the judge does not allow, he makes the decision on whether the evidence can be heard or not.
But didn't they understand that?
Didn't they understand it?
Didn't they understand? I mean, my gosh, I've read about certain income tax trials as well, and I'm sure they were well-versed in the law. I mean, when you go in front of a judge and you surrender your jurisdiction or whatever, I mean, you've got to understand that the judge is going to charge the jury any way he wants to, because it's a corrupt system. I agree.
Well, there you go. Now
the problem is the jury had time to contemplate this. I mean, I don't know how many days or hours it took for the conviction to come through, if there was any kind of, if there was any kind of rumblings among, do you know how they were polled,
right?
There were any holdouts for a while? I mean,
well, the Browns didn't even present a defense for the most part, because Ed believed that if none of his evidence was going to be able to get in, if he wasn't going to be able to talk about the law or his mindset, then why bother going back? If the fix is in, as Ed believed it was, and that appears to be the case, then why go back? And then at the same time, if you believe that you've committed no wrong, whether a jury's convicted you or not, let me ask you, would you turn yourself in?
As a matter of fact, I probably would find it very tough. I mean, if my convictions and my ideals are as strong as I believe they are, I think it'd be a very difficult choice. However, I would also consider the impact it would have on the populace. I mean, on the people out there. I mean, let's face it, guys. I mean, it's tough fighting today, and the whole system. And I hate to be so, you know, I don't mean to make a blanket statement, but it's corrupt, and the tables are totally against. I mean, they've been turned against us, and I think we've got to fight this in a more delicate way.
Give us an example of a delicate way.
Well, I think, for example, some of the protests and the fact that Dr. Paul spoke out on the issue, and then of course he somewhat retreated from that stance, I believe, to some degree, the very next day on the Lou Dobbs show or one of those particular shows. But I think peaceful protest.
Okay, let me stop you there and just insert one thing. Are you aware of the presidential order that George Bush signed that says that people that are protesting can get their property seized now?
I'm somewhat familiar with it, but I think the law is pretty vague. Therefore, I don't think it could stand up in a court of law.
Well,
he's giving himself the power.
Right. Herein lies the problem, though. It's not a question of the law. It's a question of the ride. And what they do is they take first and ask questions later. And if you've ever been through, and I have, a trial, or if you've ever been down the road with litigation, it's a very financially draining experience.
Right.
And even if you win, you lose. And they know that. And,
right.
And as you said, by your own admission, the courts are corrupt. So it's all geared in their favor. Okay? And that is their playing field. The courts are their playing field. Lord knows, I can't even count how many people I've had on my show, you know, whether it be court cases with CPS or whether it be divorce cases or whether it be criminal cases. It doesn't make any difference what it is. The court system, the tentacles of the court system are corrupt from A to Z. And it's, yes, it is stacked in the government's favor. And even if you win, you lose. Tommy Cryer.
I agree, but do you think the general populace really understands that?
No, absolutely not, and that's part of the problem.
That is the problem, and herein lies my whole entire point.
So let me ask you this. Are you saying that Ed and Elaine should take one for the team?
Well, gosh darn, man. I don't want to
or
anything like that. I'm not.
Here's the reason I asked that question. If that's the case, then our fight is lost because freedom begins and ends with the individual.
Right. Well, hey, I want you folks to know I appreciate your network. I just recently was turned on to you folks a couple of weeks ago, and I enjoy your programming very much there on ERBN.
Well, Greg, I'm glad you called in. We're waiting for some solutions, though. I mean, if you've got some thought, you know, we go around and around with this stuff all the time. And you know, the problem lies, again, it's a corrupt judicial system. It's a corrupt executive system. I mean, the executive orders and the laws being passed are so Orwellian that would make George Orwell, you know, dance for glee. And so, yeah, we're on here looking for solutions, and we try to provide them. But, you know, let me ask you a question. Your first name is what, sir? Is he still
there? Is he still there, John?
Hello?
Yeah, his first name is Greg, Michael.
Greg, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I forgot my train of thought now. It's getting late here. At any rate, you know, you have already, by your own admission, stipulated how corrupt the system is. Are you a party guy? Are you a Republican?
Oh, no. My goodness, no. I'm independent, totally.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to kind of take your temperature as to how awake you really are. I mean, let me toss one out there. Are you familiar with the North American Union?
Yes, sir. I'm familiar with the highway. In fact, I live here in Indiana, and that's part of the
highway. Super
highway is going to be cutting right through my backyard.
What part of Indiana?
I'm on the very far south side of Indianapolis.
Okay. Well, that's where my son lives. So, I mean, my family moved there from Fort Wayne.
Okay.
I'm very familiar with it. Yeah. Okay. So you're familiar with that. You believe the official Keene-Hamilton Commission report about 9/11?
Oh, of course not.
Okay. Well, there you go. So you're already light years ahead of most people.
I know that there were Israeli spies in this country long before, during, and after 9/11. So yes,
I have to stop here, Mike. I have to give you accolades. I mean, the intellectual level of your callers, your listening audience, is unbelievable.
Oh yeah, these guys are smart.
I'm telling you, they take me to class. Yeah, I'm having a great time here. You know, I have a lot of intelligent guys too. Then I have my share of bozos that call in. So, you know, Greg, you're a very sharp guy. You say you've only been listening to RBN for a couple of weeks?
Just a couple of weeks, but I've been reading AFP for years.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. At any rate, yeah, no, we're just looking for solutions. You know, as far as Ed and Elaine Brown are concerned, though, Ed. You know, there was, all kidding aside, there was many mistakes that were made in that trial. And, you know, from my perspective, Ed walking out in the middle of that trial, he literally was asking for it. Okay, but then you also have to understand the mindset, and you have to know Ed Brown. It doesn't surprise me. You know, did it end? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it ended the best way it could possibly end because they didn't die.
Right.
You know, I really didn't follow the trial much, but now that I hear you speak, are you saying that Mr. Brown during the trial was somewhat antagonistic, to say the least?
I didn't follow the trial. I know that Ed Brown walked out about midway through the trial. When he was filing motions, they were all getting denied, and they were very valid motions. He filed over 100 of them, and the motions were being denied simply because it was the same thing as the Irwin Schiff trial. They didn't allow... As the judge said in the Irwin Schiff trial, he would not allow the law to be heard in his courtroom. Well, what kind of a statement is that? You know, and it's the same thing along with these evidentiary hearings. If you're not going to allow the evidence to proceed, and remember that they weren't being prosecuted for willful failure to file, they were being prosecuted for what is called structuring. In other words, you know, taking money orders or taking cash and trying to keep it under the radar, if you will. That's what they were being prosecuted for.
And they were using money orders that they had purchased, which they were accused of structuring with, to pay off their home.
Wow. So is structuring, is that another word basically for racketeering?
That's what they're trying to get him on, basically, from what I understand.
Laundering and all that good stuff.
Right, and I'll tell you, take it a step further, you know, the government is getting so tight as far as keeping us all under a microscope. My son went down to a bank right there with you. He lives in Greenwood, Greg.
I'm about a half mile north of it.
Okay, well, then you're probably right in my son's backyard. He went into his bank just last week to purchase some money orders.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that if you had a $10,000 transaction, they'd sign a form for the IRS in cash. But he went in there to get three money orders for $1,000 apiece, and they did it. They've changed the rules just in the last 2 weeks regarding what they quote as money laundering.
You know what? I'm glad you told me that.
Well, let me take it a
really
step.
Am, because I pay. I don't have a checking account or anything like that. I like the idea of flying under the radar as well. And
well, I'm not done yet. Hang around until after the break, and I'll tell you what else they've done.
All
right. Yeah, final segment around the corner. Don't go anywhere. This is the Midnight Rider right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Final segment here on the Midnight Rider. Let's get right to it. We've got Greg in Indiana on the phone with us. Michael, lay the rest of it on him.
All right, real quick. Up to 3 weeks ago, you used to be able to send an envelope via Federal Express or UPS or whatever, and you could insure it. They'd insure it automatically for $1,000, and anything more than that, you just have to pay a few cents extra per hundred. About 3 weeks ago, they changed that. You cannot insure a package, an envelope I'm talking about, for more than $500, which means that if you decided that you wanted to send anything of value, if you know what I mean, through the mail, through the UPS or whatever, okay, you would have to send out however many packages, maximum $500 each. Now, that's another federal law, I'm sure, that has been implemented.
Wow.
Yeah. So
pretty frightening. And you were asking about solutions. Again, obviously, I think the Internet is is definitely the solution. I think we see it in Ron Paul's campaign, and I think we can see it elsewhere. I know the Browns had a pretty good site. I checked that out one particular afternoon. And
I want to ask you real quick. Have you ever hit my website?
No, sir.
I was going to say, because somebody in Greenwood hit my website, and it wasn't my son, so I thought maybe it was you.
I'm sorry, sir. What is the name of the site?
It's theamericanawakening.org.
I don't believe I have, no.
Okay. All right, just checking.
But I will check it out.
For tonight.
What's that?
That's
I will check
assignment.
It out.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, excellent. Greg, I appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
It's nice
yes,
talking
sir.
To you, Greg.
Great talking to you.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Mike. It's fun.
This has been fun. This
it
has
is,
been fun.
I'm
you know,
telling you.
This is twice now.
Hello?
Yeah, there we are. Okay.
Yeah, you got some very intelligent callers, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. I love doing this show. I'm also doing an afternoon show over on TrueNet Radio, and to get to talk to two different audiences is like a special treat. Because you get both audiences equally intelligent, but they come from different viewpoints and stuff, and it's really interesting to sit and talk to people mm-hmm. on both, and just have to get 4 hours a day is fun, and there are nights that I wish I had a third here, and because you'll just get rolling on a subject kind of like we are now. I mean, we could easily go another hour or two, just starting as just fleshing out the subject we've been talking about tonight, everything revolving about what's happened to Ed and Elaine Brown and.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you, I appreciate you having me on, partner.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, and it's been a while since we've talked, so it's certainly great to have you on.
Right. Well, great. I'll have you up on my show and return the favor.
Please do, and you're welcome anytime here.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mike.
Hey, all you're right. welcome, Michael. Thanks
all right,
for
have a good
coming
evening.
On.
All right. Bye-bye.
You too. Tomorrow night on the program, we're going to have Josh Reeves, and that's going to be a good show. He's one of the talk show hosts I have on my network, and he's been doing some research into an organization called the Council for National Policy. Interesting group of folks. We'll get into that tomorrow night. Then on Thursday night, we're going to have our big micro broadcasting show. Full 2 hours. Mike Jones is going to be with us. I think we're going to grab a couple others who are actually doing micros and have had them up. Can kind of tell you the ins and outs and all that, just like Mike can. I've had a ton of people ask me about micro stations since we did that impromptu show about a month and a half ago. So we'll fire that up on Thursday night. That's going to be a big show. So if you've been thinking about a solution, this is it right here. Where you can get the message of the truth, you can get networks like Republic Broadcasting Network out, this program out to people in your area. You'll affect more people than you will ever be able to affect just one-on-one. It's that big of a tool. And if we had 1,000 stations, we could effectively take on the mainstream media. That's it for tonight's program. Thanks for being here, listening. Enjoyed having you. Find somebody you love and tell them you love them. Spend some time with your kids, your friends, your family, folks. That's why we're fighting to save this country. Have a good night, everybody. It's true.